Are you a little cold? The good thing is, if you are warm, it's easier to just kind of relax and not pay attention. When you're cold, you pay much better attention, so this is a good thing. I'm a little nervous about preaching today, because last week in my sermon, remember I told you about my accidents that I had when I was a new driver and how I'm not that great of a driver? And then this week I got in a major accident, not my fault at all. Today our topic is criticism, and I do not want a whole week of being criticized. So please be gentle with me. Let's pray together. God, as we hear your word read and as it's shared, open our ears, help us to hear. Free us from distractions around us and within us so that we will really and truly listen. Open our minds. Give us a glimpse of the divine. And then, God, would you open our hearts that we might be formed by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our topic for today is dealing with criticism. Have you ever had to deal with criticism? Criticism, it really is a part of life. There are going to be times in our life when we are the object of criticism. Occasionally, hopefully not too often, we will be the ones raising criticism. Criticism can be very hard to handle, especially if we're feeling that it's unjustified or that it's nitpicking. It can be especially hard to take if we're already feeling insecure, already questioning ourselves, and all of us are in those places from time to time. Criticism is so challenging because it's often based on subjective criteria. What one person will praise, another person will criticize. One person will like an outfit that I'm wearing, thinks this black and vest idea is a great idea. Another person will say, doesn't she have any creativity? Even here in worship, what one person perceives as good and wonderful, another person might not. One person loves me standing here preaching where I can be closer to you. Another person says, the pulpit was built for preaching and wants the pastor there. On the same Sunday, the music for one person can be totally awesome, and for another person, not as much. Someone may love the passing of the peacetime and wish it went on longer, whereas another person doesn't like it and can't wait for it to end. Some people like that I preach about 20 minutes and wish I preached even a little longer, and others would say a few minutes shorter might be better. The same. That's not where the amen is supposed to come in. The same thing can be wonderful or terrible depending on a person's needs and preferences and perspective and current life situation. That is true, isn't it? For those of us who like to please others, sometimes it feels like we can't win, and so we find ourselves defending our action, justifying our behaviors, and sometimes even criticizing back. Sometimes the problem is negative people who carelessly criticize without having all of the facts, without putting themselves in the situation of the person that they are criticizing, without taking into consideration that other people might have a different perspective on the situation, and without thinking about the impact on the one being criticized. Sometimes the problem is that the one doing the criticism is dealing with something that is going on in their own life at the time, and the real issue has nothing to do with the criticism at all or the person being criticized. It's really about what's happening for them. We find these kind of criticisms, especially in families and in churches. You know why? Because where we're safe, we're most likely to sometimes have our worst behavior. Sometimes the problem is that we really do need to raise or hear criticism, but we don't know how to do it well. Criticism. It's not a new problem at all. Many people in the Bible faced criticism. Some of our biblical people faced unfair criticism. Moses married a foreigner, for which his siblings criticized him harshly. The Apostle Paul was criticized for eating the wrong foods and for not demanding that the new Christian converts be circumcised. Jesus was criticized a lot. He was criticized for healing on the day of rest, for eating with the wrong crowd, for claiming to be the Son of God. There are also examples in Scripture of life-producing criticism. The prophet Nathan confronted King David after King David had an affair with a woman, and then he had the woman's husband killed in order to cover up his sin. Jesus criticized two of his disciples for wanting to sit in a place of honor, and he reminded them that if they want to be great, they want to be a servant. He even criticized Peter. Remember the harsh words he had for Peter? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." I've never said anything like that to you. On the road to Damascus, God confronted Paul, challenged his attitudes and actions, made him blind temporarily, so that his spirit might be able to see. Paul publicly, in one of his letters, criticized two women leaders for their arguing, and he pleaded with them to get along for the sake of the Christian community. Criticism, it's a part of life. And sometimes it is unjust and unhelpful, but other times it is fair and so desperately needed. When we are criticized, justly or unjustly, whether the criticism is meant to condemn us or to help us, it's easy for us to take the fight approach to criticism, to defend ourselves, to retaliate, to get angry or get even. And it's also easy to take the flight approach, to hide, pretend the criticism isn't happening, to quit or run away. Which mode is more likely for you? The Bible provides us better responses for dealing with criticism in healthy ways. First, read with me, we are called to listen. Listen carefully with an open mind to the criticism. Proverbs chapter 15 reminds us that criticism can help us become wise, can lead us to gain understanding. Some criticism, it's really useful and helpful and important. Sometimes it's given by people who care enough about us to risk offending us. They genuinely want to help improve us, and their motives are pure. Hopefully, the people giving this kind of criticism follow the Bible's instructions by going to the person in private to share the criticism. But not listening to such people means missing the chance to grow, a chance to grow which might be coming directly from God. The Bible says that we are wise to listen to such people, even when the truth hurts. But there are other times when someone might criticize us without their primary goal being to help us. They simply want to voice their displeasure or have things their own way. Sometimes people criticize without having correct or complete information. At those times, we need to answer the criticism. When is it wisest to answer the criticism? Whenever we think that offering a response can help our critic better understand our position. Sometimes the person criticizing is missing some important information that could change their perspective. Maybe they only know part of or one side of the story. Perhaps tactfully, with a spirit of humility, providing one or two missing details can make a really big difference. Sometimes simply sharing our reasoning and our heart helps other people understand and feel better, even if they don't agree. Take today's scripture lesson from the Old Testament book of Judges. The delegation from the tribe of Ephraim was very upset, and they were primarily upset because they thought that Gideon was overlooking them and was not giving them proper attention due to them. Well, Gideon had choices. He could have been really angry and frustrated with them. He could have told them that he wasn't going to deal with their self-focus, that they needed an attitude change. He could have pointed out that they really have been included all along. He could have scolded them for their need to be in control. But that's not what he did. Instead, Gideon chose to answer their criticism. He gave them more information. And do you notice how he started? The first piece of information he gave them was about the high regard in which he held them, the importance of their relationship with him. He built the people up, encouraging them and giving them positive words. And then his answer, it helped them feel better about themselves. It helped them understand his heart and his thinking. And as a result, they were no longer angry. And the relationship was okay. Sometimes a thoughtfully, carefully worded answer can make a huge difference. Gentle, helpful reason sometimes makes sense to the person with an open mind, even if they don't agree. And it can help heal pain and frustration. Unfortunately, the truth is that there are times when people who criticize us don't have an open mind and aren't willing to listen. Have you ever interacted with that type of person? Have you ever been that type of person? They don't want to see the situation from the other person's perspective or from other angles, and really they don't want to make the situation better. In such situations, dismissing the criticism may be the best route to go. Unfortunately, the reality of the situation is there are times when a person will just pick us apart, find fault with absolutely everything we do, read in the most negative explanation that they could possibly read in, and for our health and well-being, we might need to rise above the criticism, let it go. Let the winds of God's Spirit bring us comforts and guide us. Sometimes the healthiest thing for us to do is to dismiss the criticism. And for our emotional health, distance ourselves from the person. But when we do that, we need to be careful to never dismiss the person. When dealing with critical people, we need to guard ourselves against unfairly internalizing their criticism and becoming demoralized and depressed and discouraged. But at the same time, we have responsibility. We have responsibility to not lash back in return, to not place shame or blame on the other, to not treat them with disregard or lack of respect. You see, we must never let the situation, the criticism, mean more than the relationship. And even when for our health and well-being we need to distance ourselves, we can still pray for the person, have positive thoughts for the person, and choose to rid ourselves of bitterness. In our scripture reading from Mark chapter 6, we are called to be ever so careful when we criticize other people. Because so often we miss behaviors for which we ourselves could easily be criticized and judged. Do you know that it is very easy and natural for us to criticize most harshly in others some of the things we struggle with ourselves? So easy, so natural. In remembering this, we can choose compassion over depression, choose to see others' injured hearts and care about that, but not let ourselves become victimized or demoralized by unfair, unhelpful criticism. Sometimes the best answer to criticism is to listen. Sometimes the best answer is to answer. And sometimes we need to dismiss it. But other times, we have to simply endure. There are times when people are going to say things about you that just aren't true. Or they keep resurfacing old issues again and again and again, or the criticism seems relentless. But we recognize that it is unhelpful or unwise to offer information that would defend what we've done or what we are doing. Sometimes the explanation is confidential and we can't share. Other times, the person hearing us isn't ready or able to hear the information. At such times, we need to simply endure, getting our confidence from God, remembering who we are in Christ, building our lives on the unshakable truth of God rather than on the unstable foundation of human opinions. With these thoughts on dealing with criticism God's way, we end our sermon series on getting real, although we will never end our experience of getting real. Over the past 5 weeks, we've talked about the importance of taking off our masks and being honest with ourselves and with others and with God. We've reflected on how all of us experience loneliness and emptiness in our lives that begins to be filled as we realize that we don't have to perform for other people, that we can trust others, and as we seek help from others. We've discussed our fear of failure, and we've looked specifically at faith risks that God is calling us as individuals and as a church to take. And we've delved into our insecurities and our feelings of inadequacies and focused on the security and the worth that we have as God's beloved children, freeing us to love ourselves and be what we could never be and do what we could never do on our own. And in it all, we've talked about how it is authenticity and not perfection that draws others to us and to Christ and gives us inner peace and healing and security and meaning. Beloved ones, friends in Christ, let's keep being real and honest. Let's keep taking off our masks so that we will come to know ourselves and God in deeper, richer ways. Beloved in Christ, let's keep being real and honest and authentic so that others may come to know themselves and God better too. May it be so. Amen.